Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host Drew Bonds. And Drew, we finally made it. It's here. It's game week. How are you feeling?
Good. Yeah, really, really excited for we record this on Monday night, so just really 2.5 short days away from Coastal. So a lot to go over here in our Coastal pregame episode. We'll get to all that. We've got some really good stuff. We've got some unfortunate news as far as injuries and stuff go, even before the season starts now. But overall, really, really excited and ready to get going. So anyway, Brooks, what do we have first?
We got a lot. I just want to prep it. Just kind of before we get started, I don't think I've been this excited for a Jack State game or for opener in a while. I'm really excited about Thursday and the season. Just getting to go into Amherst Stadium at Burgess Snow and see everything new, the new wayside, the new field, uniforms, building, audio system, everything. I'm really excited. Thursday cannot come here quick enough. But yeah, we got a lot. So I guess we'll start with the bad news. We'll start with the bad news first. Rich Rod reported today that Ron Wiggins is hurt. He suffered, I believe it was a foot injury. Double check. Underwent surgery this morning to repair a torn ligament or a toe. Okay, this article may be, he may have spelled it wrong. But anyways, I think it's a torn ligament and is scheduled to miss at least 10 weeks. He is going to try and get a red shirt based on. Okay, so it was a ligament in his toe. 10 weeks for a torn ligament in one of Ron's toes, but he's hoping to get a red shirt and get another year of eligibility for next season. This is brutal. You hate it for a kid who he entered the transfer portal, and based on what Rich Rod said, was he used the word misled. Sounds like, you know, an agent got in his ear or somebody promised him some NIL money that wasn't there, you know, whatever it may be. And to find his way back to Jack State, you know, expect to get significant playing time, more than he's gotten in the last 2 years. I really hate it for the kid. But good thing is, I think we are pretty deep at running back with the addition of Andrew Paul, picking up Justice Savage in this new or in this last signing class, and then of course Anwar Lewis bringing a lot of experience back. So again, I really hate to see this, especially from a local kid like Ron.
Yeah, I think you kind of said it there. It's more of a sad sight to see. Mostly the fact that Ron went to Jacksonville High School and grew up in the area and that kind of thing. You know, this is our deepest position, more than likely, with Anwar and Andrew Paul and some of the freshmen we brought in. So as far as that goes, I think the team will get by without his production, because you probably have at least two guys. He's probably the third running back on the roster behind Anwar and Andrew Paul, if I had to guess. Certainly behind Anwar, who we know is going to be the starter, but I would assume he was behind Andrew Paul as well. The tough part is like I said, Jacksonville kid, and you know, this is his senior year. Maybe he'll get a medical redshirt out of it and get to play one more year next year. We'll have to wait and see. But not good news to start the week off with, that's for sure.
Yeah, not at all. Hopefully he can, especially with Anwar, this being his last season. Hopefully he can get that red shirt and he can take that, get more likely that lead spot in the running back room next year. But we'll have to see. moving on to that's the bad. I guess you consider the good. We will see a for Thursday's game. Of course, it's at 7 o'clock under the lights on CBS Sports Network. I fully expect this to be a sellout. A lot of new renovations to the stadium coming off a bowl win. This is our first full on year, as Rich Rod said, in FBS. And we will be wearing all red, or at least according to, everything the Twitter investigating I've been doing, it sounds like they're calling for a red out. And, one of the coaches went on Twitter and said all red for Coastal. That's kind of what to expect from the picture. This will be a little different though with our new uniform set, with the, you know, like I said, the updated uniforms, jerseys with the shoulder stripes, pants with the Jack State up on the, up at the top of the hip. I've never been a all red guy. It's fine for, you know, one game out of the year, and maybe just Gross ruined it for me wearing it every single home game for about a three or four year stretch. But, honestly, that's not the main important key of the game, but it's something kind of fun to talk about before, we get to kind of breaking down the, specifics of the game. What do you think about the all red?
Yeah. Like you, I'm not a huge fan of the all red, and I'm assuming this means red helmets also. Now, I could maybe get behind a white helmet with red jersey, red pants, and maybe white socks and cleats, but I'm assuming this means, you know, red from head to toe, which, again, like you said, Gross wore that a lot. Not my favorite thing that they ever wear. It's a lot of red on a uniform. But like you said, in the grand scheme of things, not super important. The important part is the product you put out on the field. So,
yeah.
That's the main thing. Thought we might see, you know, night game start the year. Thought we might see the black that we saw, but I guess we'll have to wait for another day to see that. But anyway, all right, moving on. JSU favored by 2.5 over Coastal this Thursday night, and we'll kind of dive into the game here. The over under is 55.5 for those that like to play that money line. But I guess the big question is the quarterback battle. And we have actually heard some news, but she'll tell us a little bit more about it in a minute. But according to Rich Rod, Smothers and Huff are going to see the majority of the snaps. They are the word we used was co-starters. And Zion and Tayshaun Smoot will be the third and fourth options, probably in that order. Although, from what we understand, we will probably see Zion Turner Thursday night. We may or may not see Tayshaun Smoot, which, I mean, if you play four quarterbacks in a – you know, I mean, that's a lot of quarterbacks to play for a football game. Yeah. So I would be surprised, you know, you see Smothers, Huff, and Zion Turner. That's great and wonderful. If you see a fourth quarterback come out, that would be, you know, really, really strange. But between Smothers and Huff, I think if you're naming those guys co-starters, I think that probably means that Huff is your best option. But since Smothers has the, you know, majority or really all the experience in the offense, he's going to get the snaps regardless. But Brooks, what do you think, you know, Smothers versus Huff versus Zion Turner? What is your thought process there?
Yeah. So, when I was watching, Rich Rod's press conference from this morning, earlier, his words, not mine, he called them, co-starters. Now he, earlier, I checked, his show he's doing with Eli Gold at Apothecary. He said he has no clue who's going to go out and take the first snaps yet.
That's which is a lie. I just want everybody to know. That.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. He no. Well, and that's what he said. He went on to say, even if I did, I wouldn't tell you. But
right, well,
that
yeah.
was kind of rude. But no. But I get it. You know, and from the Twitter investigating I've been doing. We're going to assume Noah Kim is the starter, but Coastal has not put out an official depth chart either, which I'm That's something I've kind of noticed. I guess it's become a trend for week one all across the country, because I know Georgia and Clemson, they're not releasing their full depth charts until the day of the game. And a couple other schools are doing that too. So, and again, I get it, but you know, right now we're kind of playing the guessing game. But yeah, he said he called Tyler Huff and Logan Smothers co-starters. And this is kind of, you know, we talked about in a couple of episodes before, it's a two-horse race, or it's, you know, it might be a two-horse race between Smothers and Zion Turner. And maybe it's because, you know, we've been playing EA College Football 25 here lately, and that's who, I don't know, you know, who fed what information at EA, but that's who they've got. As the automatic starter, whatever you play with Jack State. I'm not 100% sure Tyler Huff is even on the game. They're kind of screwed with some of the rosters. But anyways, so co-starters, I personally think it's going to be Smothers going out first, just because he has been there the longest. He's most experienced with the Rich Rod system. He was our, and I told you this before we got started. I didn't know this. He was our leader in rushing touchdowns last year with 7. I thought that was, there was no way it wasn't Anwar or Ron or somebody. But I like Smothers to go out there first. But like he said, we're going to see Huff at some point in the game. It's going to be those two back and forth, and we could see Zion Turner. It sounded like we're going to at some point. I guess it kind of depends on how the games go, but it sounded like those are his two favorites right now. And, you know, again, Smothers has the most experience, and then Tyler Huff was a very talented quarterback at Presbyterian. He was Southern Conference Offensive Player of the Year, set a couple of school records. So, you know, Zion was a fine quarterback at UConn, led them to their first bowl game in like 6 years, I think it was. But you know, we're going to see a lot of different names on Thursday, and this is it's going to be interesting to see how soon Huff comes in, how soon Zion comes in, if we can get up enough, or if just, you know, the play calling calls for it, you know, whatever it may be. It's going to be interesting for sure. What do you think, Drew?
Yeah, I think, like you said, Smothers will come in first, and then we'll see Huff, and perhaps we'll see Zion Turner later on in the game. Part of the reason that, you know, me and you liked Turner so much, and we thought it might be a two-horse race at some point, we had never seen Tyler Huff at that time. We still haven't really seen him. He was not a J-Day game, didn't play, and we haven't, you know, Furman, he looked really good last year, and he's got good tape at Presbyterian also, but we have just not seen him play much, so not much for anyone to go off of. So sounds like he has jumped Turner in the quarterback battle, and he is obviously battling for the top spot. But either way, a couple other guys that we're just excited to see play. I know DeMarcus Lacy comes to mind. He was a guy who played a big role in the J-Day game, got a lot of action, which, again, I'm not sure what we learned from the J-Day game, probably a whole lot of nothing. But he got a lot of action, a lot of balls thrown his way, ran the ball some. He's going to catch some passes. He's going to run the ball a little bit. Brandon Spector is another guy who caught a touchdown pass in the J-Day game. He's our wide receiver transfer from Clemson. He's going to catch the ball for us. So those two guys I want to see offensively. Brooks, who do you want to see maybe defensively, who we haven't really talked about a whole lot?
I tell you somebody I would like to see. What's the kid from Europe? The big old defensive end that's probably gonna play the other side from Curly Young.
Emmanuel Oibadejo, I believe, is how we're gonna say his name.
Emmanuel Oibadejo. Rumblings around from our sources say that this kid is going to be a stud. Came from England. I'm trying to find him on the roster.
He's wearing 99. He'll be the last guy on the roster.
Okay, 99.
Exeter, England. Yeah. He's 6'7", 305.
6'7", 305. And this kid's coming from England. Little school on Manchester. Or a little school in Manchester, England. You don't see that very commonly. One, just, you know, American football players in England to begin with, but, you know, a kid that's 6'7", 320, you figure he'd be playing rugby or something. But just if this kid is you know, as big and, you know, big and stout as it sounds like he is, it's going to be interesting to see. He's going to be another one. It's going to be interesting to see how soon he gets on the field and, you know, what his impact. You know, we watched a couple clips of him playing with a school in England, and it was just tearing up those poor offensive tackles. Never had a chance.
Yeah,
looked like a little kid out there. He was just pushing over one handed and getting the quarterbacks. So I'm really excited to see. See what kind of development he's gone through. Must be pretty new though. He doesn't have a bio in or a picture on the website yet. But just someone of that stature is going to be pretty solid. And again, a good compliment to Curly Young on the other end.
Yeah, the kind of what we hear around camp is close to, if not NFL ready, which is crazy to think about a 19-year-old from England who's never really played football in North America saying he is nearly NFL ready as a pass rusher. So really, really excited about Emmanuel Oibadejo there. He visited Florida State and did not commit and found his way to Jack State, which we're certainly really, really happy about. And then I just put DB transfers here, like any of them. I'm not sure who's going to see the field more than the other. You know, Antonio Carter, Malcolm Smith, like there's enough DB transfers to go around. I just want to see how they all play. Marco Baker is going to play for sure, who's returning from last year. But as far as, you know, more of the defensive guys, I'm not sure who we're expecting to stand out in the defensive backfield. Brooks, maybe you can allude to maybe one or two guys you're looking forward to more than others. But for me, it's just let's take the list of DB transfers and pick our two or three we like the best.
Yeah, there's a few. I'm trying to remember some of the – I know we had a few from – you know, one from Colorado and one from Notre Dame and one from Michigan State. God, the names have passed me. But, you know, just in general, having that Division I experience – I think it's going to help a lot, and it's going to be interesting to see the development that they take. You know, where, you know, those guys weren't playing a ton at those schools, or getting a ton of playing experience. To now, you know, they're somewhere where they might could, you know, take that next step in their playing career, get with some good get with our defensive staff and get developed, and you know, they were good enough to play at those schools for a reason, and now. They've come to Jack State, and hopefully we've gotten to we've gotten to expose them more to practice and you know, really develop and hopefully get them some good playing time early on. One more that I want to touch on, I think that's going to be. In the linebacker room, I think is going to take a big step is Jabril Al-Amin. This, you know, I don't want to go everything based on the video game, but he's a lot of fun to play with in the video game. But it, you know, this is a second, or he's a redshirt sophomore. Last year only had, you know, finally got some real playing time. Had 17 tackles, 14 of them solo. One sack and a quarterback hurry in the East Tennessee State game, and got some more tackles here and there against Louisiana Tech and even one in New Orleans and in the New Orleans Bowl. I like him to be on the other rock of or on the other side of J. Rock Swain a lot. I think he's going to be pretty solid. I really look for him to take the next step and emerge as a probable starter. They got him starting on the game, at least.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Jabril Alamin is someone who, you know, got some playing time last year and really looks to take over a bigger role this year, playing alongside J-Rock. And really, I mean, if you can send J-Rock Swain and Curly Young and kind of at this point we think Emmanuel Ogbedejo out, you know, after some quarterbacks, I think you can get in the backfield to make a lot of noise, hopefully. So, yeah, that's who we're kind of excited to watch as far as the Jack State side goes. And obviously the big quarterback battle we still haven't learned a ton about, but we'll see between Smothers, Huff, and Zion Turner, and then a lot of new transfers in DeMarcus Lacy, Brandon Spector, and then, you know, some of the DBs there we're really excited to see. As far as the Coastal side goes, some quick notes on them. Of course, Grayson McCall transfers to North Carolina State, so they'll be having a quarterback battle of their own. They have also not named a starter. They have Ethan Basco, who I believe was the backup last year at Coastal Carolina, and Noah Kim, who is a Michigan State transfer. And from what I understand, we may see two quarterbacks for Coastal as well between Noah Kim and Ethan Basco. And at least they haven't named a starter at this point. Now, they may have a guy they're going to stick with through the whole game or not, but they have not named anybody the starter. So we'll see out of those two guys who gets to play. Coastal lost two of their top three wide receivers from last year. Jamison Tucker is their best returning option at wide receiver. So this could be an offense that struggles a little bit. New quarterback, new guys for the ball too. This could be an offense who, you know, takes a while to put it together. So if Jack State can jump on them early and really put them behind the eight ball, I think that's going to be their best route to winning, especially with, you know, Coastal has a pretty good defense, especially in the secondary. They are really, really strong. So jump on them early, keep their offense grounded with new quarterbacks, and hopefully that'll be their path to success. Brooks, what do you see from the Chanticleers?
Yeah, you know, before I get into that, I want to preface the last episode. I said that Jamie Chadwell was still at Coastal, and I completely forgot that's who's at Liberty now. He took over the program last year, and this is Tim Beck in his second year. But nonetheless, Jamie Chadwell has left them in good shoes, or in. I've left them in good shape. A lot of shoes to fill. Like you said, lost two of the top three receivers, with Jamison Tucker being the best option. But, you know, this is, like I said on our season preview, I think they're going to be good. Losing a guy like Grayson McCall, obviously, it's detrimental to. You know, a team like Coastal of their stature, but this is a traditionally good football program where, you know, it's seen a lot of success at the FCS level and won some major games. You know, of course, thanks to Grayson McCall, who I swear was at Coastal for about 5 years. Everybody remembers the Mormons versus the Mullets game, and a couple others won their bowl game last year. But, you know, losing a talent like him, I think is going to play a bigger impact than a lot of people think. It may be Noah Kim. It may be Ethan Vasco. I'm going to assume it's going to be Noah Kim, just because, you know, he's got the FBS experience. He was named the starter at Michigan State last year. He played five games. The only reason he didn't finish out the season was because of injury, but not bad numbers. Not bad numbers. That was a Michigan State team that ran the ball a lot, but
six passing touchdowns. That Michigan State offensive line was also a disaster.
Yeah,
from what I understand,
he had no time to throw. Probably why he got injured. But 91 of 160 for 1,090 yards and six touchdowns. Not bad. He had the six picks, but like you said, that offensive line was brutal. So I'm going to assume, you know, a place like Coastal, he's going to have a better offensive line. He's going to have some decent wide receivers like Jameson Tucker to throw to. I think they'll score on us. I think they'll be able to move the ball and score on us, but I don't think, like I said before, at home, under the lights, I think home field advantage is going to play a big part in this game. I think we're going to be able to move the ball, even without Ron. We're going to get to see a lot of new names early. We're going to be playing that high tempo offense that Rich Rod likes to run, and likes to keep defenses on their toes, keep rotating bodies in and out and in and out constantly. And the quarterback is no exception. I think at the end of the day, where last year they got to be too much for us, this year we're going to end up being too much for them. I really like us in this game.
I'm glad you bring up how fast the offense can go, because for those that don't know, this will be the first game Jack State plays with the microphone in the helmet for the quarterback. Okay. So obviously there'll be one on defense also. So I don't know who the green dot player is. I guess we're calling them, that's what they call them in the NFL anyway. I guess we're going to call them green dots. Who the green dot is for the defense, I would assume J-Rock or maybe Jabril Alameen, one of the linebackers for sure. But, you know, the offense should be able to go faster than it did last year if you can just tell Logan Smothers or Tyler Huff what the play's going to be, right? At least that would be my assumption. So we'll see how much an advantage that plays for the Jack State offense. I would assume it would play some advantage for them, especially, you know, speed is the name of the game for Rich Rod's offense. And I mean, you give the quarterback a glorified earbuds in his helmet. I mean, that should help you go faster. A couple things. There'll be a 2-minute warning in the second quarter and the fourth quarter. I hate that more than anyone listening can possibly know, but that is something that we're going to see. I think that is absolutely ridiculous to do, but I'm not making those decisions. So a couple of new things you guys will see, which you won't really see the quarterback microphone, but it will be there. And then obviously you guys see the 2-minute warning in the second and fourth quarter. And just know when that happens, I have I'm on my phone at that point. I've checked out of the football game. I'm on Twitter. And then when it's over, I'll resume and I'll be immersed back in the football game. But anyway, that's how that's going to go for me.
Yeah, it's going to be different, you know, and not just at Jack State, but all across the country. Quarterbacks are getting mics and earbuds. Rich Rod actually got asked about that, and he said, you know, or a reporter asked, you know, does this affect your play calling, your ability to communicate with Smothers, whoever it may be? He said no. He said, as fast as we go with our offense, I'm usually getting a play to them, you know, well before there's 15 seconds left on the play clock. So he didn't seem stressed about that at all.
Yeah, because it cuts out after with 15 left on the play clock, correct?
Yeah, 15 seconds left on the play clock.
Yeah, I don't think that part will be an issue. Like you said, I think, you know, Rich Rod's going to get the play to them, you know, well before that time. So
yeah, the only time I think it'll be really tough is probably when we go to Louisville, because I noticed in the Georgia Tech Florida State game, Haynes King looked like he was really having covering up his ears the whole time, and that was in Dublin, so you can imagine what it's going to be like when they go to Clemson or they go to Miami, whoever. That's the only place I think where we're really gonna it's really gonna have an effect, I guess, on the ability to hear the play, get the play through, all that, is when we go to Louisville. But other than that, he didn't seem concerned about it at all. Something he did mention, though, is tablets. The tablets you see a lot of the NFL players and coaches using on the sidelines, they're going to be introduced to the college game as well. He said, I'm not very good with technology, so I'm going to have to, it's going to take some learn. He said, I'm going to have to learn how to use the tablets, but That's going to be, I think that's going to be interesting to see how they utilize those in game.
Yeah, I think the tablets are a great thing. I obviously think the quarterback being able to hear the play call is a good thing. So I think that's really good. And like you said, the Georgia Tech and Florida, or Georgia Tech and Florida State game, you saw Haynes King, you know, covering up his helmet trying to hear the play call. I didn't see the Florida State quarterback. I'm not going to try to say his name on this podcast. Everyone knows who it is. He's a big name. I don't need to say it, but seemed to be something that Haynes King and Georgia Tech had to work through, but didn't seem to affect the outcome. For those that didn't see the end of that game, really good game in Dublin. Going forward in our weekly episodes, we'll update you on all the Conference USA action usually during this time, but obviously no games have been played yet. So we will tell you, for those who didn't see it, Georgia Tech 24, Florida State 21, walk-off field goal for the Yellow Jackets. Great way to start the season for sure.
Great week zero game.
Yeah, really good week zero game. Beyond that, I believe SMU beat Nevada. I'm not sure the score of that game, but pretty sure the Mustangs won.
They came back. It was either that. I think they were the ones down. I'm thinking of Montana State. Montana State was down pretty big in the fourth quarter and came back and won. SMU came back and won 29-24. Scored 16 unanswered in the fourth quarter.
Wow. That was all of the Division I games. I guess just those two, really. Thursday night, we do get, besides Jack State, there are a couple of other. I know Missouri's playing an FCS team. I know North Dakota State and Colorado will be on. I think that's a 7 o'clock start alongside Jack State. So we'll see if the Bison can upset Deion Sanders and the Buffs. But and then, of course, this weekend, a huge slate. We're not going to get into all that stuff. LSU and USC and Georgia and Clemson and all kinds of great football this weekend, but we'll save that for another day. But, again, like we said, pregame episode we'll do for each game, we'll update you on the Conference USA action from the week before, because that is obviously very relevant to Jack State. But to fully wrap up, what else you got for us?
I was just going to say that, there's a lot of games on Thursday. Talk about Missouri taking on a former OVC rival, Murray State, at 7 o'clock. And then Colorado taking on once adversary, North Dakota State, in Boulder. Lines at 9.5. I think that's a little generous to Colorado. I think North Dakota State's going to be pretty solid.
Yeah, I'll put all my money on the Bison for that one.
I like him to at least cover.
Deion's done a decent job there, but that offensive line is, unless they've come a long way since last year, that was not even FCS caliber offensive line last year. They were really, really bad up front. At least Colorado was. So North Dakota State out recruits everybody in the northwest part of the country, and that probably includes I don't know if they're out recruiting Boise State, but they have to be really, really close as far as the caliber of athlete North Dakota State gets, at least up front. You think they're going to wreak havoc on Colorado. Again, I've done no research on either team. That is completely based off, the last 10 years of what the Bison have been able to accomplish up there. So,
yeah, and games like this, they have been more than known to win. Iowa, yeah. Kansas State, Kansas, Iowa State, a couple others. So, closing on, wrapping up on our game. We said last week we've got us winning. We've got the Gamecocks winning 28-17. I think that's a pretty accurate score. And it may even come down to there's a strong chance it may be 28-20. It may be 28-20, and Coastal's got the last ball, and it's coming down the last drive, and what our defense can do, or what we can do to hold on. We've got the ball, what we can do to hold on and not give them another opportunity to score right before the end of the game. They're going to score. I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, it's first game of the season. We're going to be still adjusting to new defensive coordinator, new defensive system, a lot of transfers. I think, you know, we noticed on here, or we pointed out on here, allowed 23.8 points per game last year, and struggled to get pressure on quarterbacks with only 19 sacks all year. I think as good as our offensive line lineman's going to be with guys like Sean Brown and doing a lot of blocking at tight end and Clay Webb and some guys like that, I think we're going to be – Will Osteen, you know, I think we're going to be fine on offense. It's just – it's going to be a matter of whether or not how well our defense can play as a unit after all the newcomers and both on the field and or both on the both playing the game and coaching the game. I think that's ultimately what it's going to come down to. But I like us to win 28-17, 28-20, something like that. It's going to be interesting.
Yep, I agree. It'll be should be a really really good game to start the year and. You know, the goals for the year is going to be the same as last year, win the conference and let the chips fall after that. But it all starts with Coastal here in a few days. So we'll wrap it up there. Again, things to watch, you know, obviously the quarterback battle, a lot of the new transfers, Luke Olsen's defense as a whole, I think is going to be something we're going to really look forward to. And then, you know, Coastal with some question marks at offense, but a defense that really should be a really formidable defense the Chanticleers bring. And then, you know, it'll be a new look for the football game as far as, you know, the quarterbacks have a way to communicate, or at least the coaches communicate with the quarterbacks. And then the whole 2-minute warning will be something new. So lots of things to look forward to Thursday night, and hopefully we'll come out of there with a home victory to start the year. But beyond that, Brooks, you got anything else?
No, I think that about wraps it. Like I said at the start, I'm really excited for this game. I don't think I've been this excited for a season opener in a while. I'm excited to see, you know, at the end of the day, what we look like with the quarterback battle, where it's at, if we do like last year, if we go back and forth on starters, if we, you know, if just Smothers or Tyler Huff or whoever just leaps and bounds above the other, all the new names on offense and defense. And of course, you know, in getting to go back to Burgess Snow with, you know, I think it's going to be a completely brand new, game day experience that we haven't seen before with, you know, just being a new stadium, being Amherst Stadium, new field, or new turf, new field house that we're going to be running out of. Fans on the away side are going to have a much better experience than they've had, not just in the last 2 years, but in the last since we moved out of that old press box and let the old red seats get decrepit and all that.
Big quality laugh upgrade on the away side for sure.
Very much, and everything's right. I drove by today, and they've got the tents up on the open air suites, and I didn't notice this last time, but like below them, they've got. I'm sure that a lot of people have seen the pictures now, but they've got padded seats and tables like bolted in, so they are kind of set up this similar way for that the indoor suites on the home side are set up. Completely new Burgess Snowfield experience, and I'm really excited for it. Thursday can't get here soon enough.
Yep, absolutely.
We'll be there.
We'll obviously be active on Twitter, obviously a lot all week, and especially Thursday throughout the game. Now we're not going to live tweet every single snap, but we'll. You'll see a lot of a lot of the, you know, big highlights and stuff on our Twitter. So go give us a follow if you haven't over there and help us out. But anyway, I'm out of stuff to talk about. It's time to watch them play football and hope for the best. So we'll see you guys probably Friday morning. We'll upload. We'll try to record Thursday after the game's over. It won't be a real long episode. It'll be 15, 20 minutes of kind of our highlights and our thoughts as far as how the game went. And hopefully it's a happy episode. But we'll see you guys then Friday morning or late Thursday night. Obviously, we'll keep you updated on our Twitter, and that's where we'll be.
Yep. We'll see y'all. Y'all hear from us Thursday and Friday. Go game, Gox.